Welcome to the East City Wesleyan Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you would like to learn more about East City Wesleyan Church, please go to ecw.org.nz for more information. Now, here's your podcast.
My name is Chris Hinterman, and yes, I am yet another American. In fact, it goes back just about 19 years ago, I received a phone call. And I was my district superintendent, and he said, I have this couple who are touring the area. They'd like to visit a church on Sunday morning. Their name is Richard and Jane Waugh. Later, I found it was Richard and Jane War, but, you know, that was it was an American thing. And so it's been 19 years. It's 18 years ago that my wife and I and three others came to New Zealand for the first time. Who knew what it would become? A few years later, we gave up our firstborn and sacrificed our firstborn to come to New Zealand. Our daughter is Kristen Jones, and so it's been our delight to be here, and we are now retired, and so we get to winter, our winter, here, and we're delighted about that. Well, I'm privileged to preach here for the next 2 weeks, and so I'm bringing a very short series called The Great Old Testament Food Show. And apparently that is a New Zealand show, probably not a great popularity from what I understand, but I've kind of ripped off what's going on with that. And today we're going to be talking about an Old Testament story from the book of 2 Kings called Poison in the Pot, and it's a great old story there. Food shows have become very, very popular of late, and there's a whole channel regarding that and lots of other things happening. And the kids, the Jones kids, have been watching this one called Nailed It. And the whole thing is, don't get too excited yet, but the whole thing is that you're supposed to make, a professional baker makes something, and then you're supposed to, the contestants are supposed to duplicate it. This is actually the professional, which I think, go back, find another job. But anyway, this is the best they could do with what they had to work with. And so they came up with this cake, and then the next person's supposed to duplicate it, and when they get done, they're supposed to say, nailed it. And no, they didn't. It looks a little more like Bernie Sanders than it does, But that's what, it's very, very popular to do those things. Now we're going to get that off there. In the day after Christmas in 2015, my mom went home to be with the Lord. And I miss her, but I don't miss her cooking. And I know we're supposed to say all kinds of good things about people who have gone on, but I have to be honest, I did not know until I married Marcia that mom was a horrible cook. You know, you kind of grow up with things, that's all, you know, that's what you have. We have this product in the U.S. called Hamburger Helper. And it's not like a hamburger like what you are accustomed when you think. It would be Mince Helper, okay? And what it is basically a box that you get that's got noodles and other such sauce and things inside of it, and you pour it into a pan, add cooked mince in with it, stir it up, and that's dinner. It's kind of like casserole in a pot. It's as good as it sounds. And that was mom's specialty when she wasn't cooking other things like cow's tongue. That'll mark you when you see your mother bring home this roll of thing, cut the string, and it just kind of unrolls itself. And she, cow's tongue and liver and things like that I was raised on. But she never poisoned us, which puts her ahead of today's topic, because the guy in this story actually poisons his entire guest. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 38 through 41. Elisha returned to Gilgal, where there was a famine in that region. And while the company of prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and cook some stew for these men." And one of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine. He gathered some of its gourds and filled the fold of his cloak. And when he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, and they began to eat it. And they cried out, O man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. And Elisha said, get some flour. And he put it in the pot and said, serve it to the people and eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now that's an interesting story. And you thought, where are you going to go with that? Well, we're going to get all kind of metaphorical with the whole thing here. But we're going to talk about, in our lives, everyone has some poison gourds in our pot. Now there's all kinds of things that happen in our lives. There's not any of us who have gotten this far without being scarred in some way by life. And all kinds of those things add to the difficulties in our lives. Sometimes it's slander, sometimes it's praise. Slander is somebody telling you that you are nothing, whether it's a teacher, parents, Sunday school teachers, siblings, other kids. But those things put damage on our soul and mark us. Some just absolutely destroy us, some mark us, some harm us, but everybody has gone through that. If you've been through intermediate school at some point or another, you have been abused and you have suffered at some level. It's just the way it is. Now, some are much worse than others, and a few years ago, we were in a church where there was a youngish guy, he was probably in his early 40s, seems young to me now, and his name was Barry, and when he was in Sunday school as a child, he was going to church, he was probably misbehaving, as boys tend to do from time to time, and the Sunday school teacher said to him, you are a child of the devil. He received that into his soul, and from that point on went on pursuing Satanism as his faith and embraced it for many, many years until this point in time when he engaged with us. He was broken and searching. I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord and seeing his life changed, but it still impacted him, probably still to this day. So those kind of things happen to us. So there's those things that are slander. Sometimes in our culture now, even praise can become something that damages us because we live in a culture now where we can't tell our children they're wrong. Now, I don't know how it is here, but I know in our culture, we are in a culture. For example, we have Little League baseball, Little League soccer, or football, as you would call it, and all those things. When they're coming up, we don't keep score. Now, you know every parent and grandparent in the stands is keeping score, but we don't officially keep score because we're all winners. And at the end of the thing, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets the same trophy. And so you're raised with this unreasonable expectation that there's not winning and losing, there's only winning in life. And that can scar us as well. I ran across this next picture, which I thought was a perfect award. We just need to start handing these out. It's an award for breathing. Congratulations, you took a breath, here's your award. And so we live in that kind of culture and that kind of time where we don't criticize, and it comes as a great shock when all of a sudden you find out, oh, I'm not as perfect, I'm not as wonderful as I thought I was. Well, much more serious are things like betrayal. Someone who has given up our secrets, someone who's not there when we need them, someone who ignores us or rejects us. And then there's just outright abuse. And some of us have gone through that sort of thing, whether it's physical, emotional, sexual abuse. That is a betrayal of trust placed in a person who is an authority over us. And it is awful. And it makes it almost impossible for us to trust others later. Another person in my life years ago was a young lady I'm going to call Beth, although the chances of you ever encountering her are pretty small. But she was abused in all three of those ways by a stepdad. And I spent some time counseling with her and helping her walk through those things. And she was a very, very broken young woman. But not only did she have problems with her stepdad, because actually after a while he was taken out of the picture, no longer an issue, but she also was struggling very much with her mother, because it was her mother who brought this guy into the household, and also mom who didn't protect her. And that's a betrayal as well. And so here are those kind of things. And we're going to come back to Beth's story here in a while. Then there are just out-and-out life events. We all have those things as well. Sickness, we all get sick at some time. Some of us have far more our share of sickness and illness and disabilities in our lives. Some of us don't know what a healthy day feels like any longer. There are those of us who encounter tragedies, accidents, injury, loss, all those things. I was recently talking with someone who talked to me about their house was broken into. And for them to go back home and feel comfortable in their own space was a terrible thing for a very, very long time, and still comes back from time to time. Divorce. Some years ago, a lot of years ago, my daughter was a young teen, she was talking with her friends. And several of her friends' parents were going through divorces. And she said, "My parents will never get a divorce." Now, I was really glad that we had given her that kind of security, but it also scared us to death, because we know that without the Lord and each other at the center of our lives, that is fragile regardless, and there's no guarantees. And so it scared us very, very much. Fortunately, so far that's holding. We're doing okay. But it was something. So if you've gone through something like that, those things also. And then there's a broken spirit that comes in places like this. When the church fails us. When the church betrays us. And there have been a lot of us who have been hurt by the church over the years. Whether it's somebody being judgmental. Sometimes there's that wonderful, well-meaning but misguided advice that we receive in the foyer. Rejection, power plays in the body, all those things. Sometimes we're disappointed by leaders. There have been a moral failure of a pastor or other leader. Sometimes the pastors just aren't there for you when you need them. And having been on the other side of that more times than I wish I had, sometimes we are involved in a whole lot of things and we can't be there for everything, but it is a disappointment when they aren't there when they need you. And then we can be just let down by God himself, or at least we think we are, that he didn't come through as we expected, or we're disappointed in him in allowing any of the foregoing things that we've just talked about. And there's sin. Whether it's the sin of others against us or our own sins, we break ourselves and cause our own grief. So now that you're all feeling really encouraged, let's pray and go home. Or we could go on. Well, let's talk about the healing that can come for us. Interesting in this story that Elisha says, "Just bring me some flour, we'll put it in the pot." Now, once you're burned by something, you tend not to want to go back and try it again. 5-6 years ago, Brett and Kristen were in the U.S. with their kids, and we had had an outing. We were on our way home, and we decided to stop at this really nice restaurant. It's called Zender's Restaurant. It's in Frankenmuth. It is the spot to go if you're in that area. They are famous for their fried chicken dinners. And so we decide, let's take the whole bunch. It's our shout. We'll take you. We'll take you to Zender's and show you a really good time. So we stood in line for an inordinately long time. Finally got our seat. The chicken was dry, but even better, it came with built-in floss. Blonde floss. Hair. And not just, in case you missed that so far. And not only did Kristen find some, but Reese did as well, and they're both, well, we won't go on. What do you think of the chances of us going back? You know, they could have been just having a bad day. The fact that they didn't do anything about it tells me, no, it's probably they're having a lot of bad days. But we're not going to, once you're burned, you don't want to go back to a place like that. You don't want to experience something like that. So it's remarkable what happens in this thing. It really is an act of faith when Elisha says, let's put flour into the stew. That'll make it better. Now think about that. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's make gravy. Yeah, we'll add gravy to the stew. That will make it all better. So it's an act of faith that Elisha says, this is what we're going to do. But the real test of faith is for the other prophets. Can you imagine? They said, this stuff was poison. Yeah, but I put flour in it. Here you go. And they said, okay. And they ate. And it was fine. Now, I don't know the mechanics of that. I don't know how that is even possible. I didn't do the research to find out, is there something in flour that does? I don't know. But it worked. God blessed it, and they had a good meal. But here we come to this concept of risking to trust again. Can you risk to trust again once you've been burned? Because it doesn't make sense that once you've stuck your neck out and someone's chopped it off for you, when you've tried something and you're out there risking to be hurt again. But it truly is the only way to overcome our doubts and fears. It's the idea of trusting to forgive, to try once again. Matthew chapter 5, 43-44 says this, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Here is the very first step toward forgiveness. It's this idea of being able to pray for the person who has harmed you. Now, early on, I learned a very important lesson. And it's a whole other story, so we're not going to go there too far. But there was someone who was in authority over me and was very, very difficult. And I spent a lot of time praying about him. You see where I'm going? There's a big difference about praying about somebody and praying for them. Praying about somebody is one of those, I love David, some of his prayers in the book of Psalms where he's saying, Lord, break their teeth. Dash them against stones. I mean, those are praying about people prayers. Praying for them becomes a saying of, Lord, bless them. Do something in them. Heal them. And we find ourselves in that process, ourselves being healed. I was talking with a friend of mine who is co-worker at our last church about this passage and the whole thing of the flower. And I thought, why does that work? And why is that? And how does that apply? And this is what Pastor Molly said. She said, forgiveness is like the absorption power of flour. It doesn't make the poison cease to exist, but it does keep it from continuing to hurt you. Isn't that good? When we begin to pray for that person and begin to approach forgiveness, and you notice I say it's approach because I recognize that forgiving someone who has hurt us deeply is not something we just go, well, it's okay. It's not okay. It's a process. It's a long process. It's work. But when we begin to approach that, it ceases to hurt us. and begins to take the poison out of our pot. So let me take you back to Beth. As I mentioned, she had bitterness toward her mother. Stepdad's out of the picture. It's still there, but it's not the issue. It's really mom. And mom is not a believer. I began talking with Beth along these lines, and she got to the place where she was willing to start approaching mom and beginning to hold out forgiveness to her. In the process of all that, Beth's mom starts to come to the church. Beth's mom finds Jesus Christ as her Savior. One of the best days I've ever had in ministry happened to be a Mother's Day. They're sitting just about over here, and I look out, and there is Beth and her mom singing, holding hands, and praising Jesus together. Tears, I joined in. In fact, I might now. But just to see what God was doing in them, and they healed that relationship. But it took Beth being willing to try again. So what do we do with this? There's a powerful passage in 2 Corinthians, and it says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles." Now, would you stop there? I love that part. There's a God of compassion. He cares about us. He sees us with the hurt that we've suffered, the things we've gone through. He knows all of them, and he knows all about everything and a lot of things we aren't even aware of. And he is the God of all comfort, who comes and comforts us in our troubles. But he doesn't stop there. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. See, our God is a God of redemption, and he doesn't waste anything. He will take those things where it has happened in our lives that are good or bad. Today we're talking about the bad. He will take those things and redeem them in some way. He's going to make them not only right, but good. That's our God. Several years ago, in fact, I'm rereading my journals from 23 years ago. There's a whole story there. But about this time, 23 years ago, 1 o'clock in the morning, we had police knock on our door to tell us that our son had been arrested and taken to prison. Not really the best night of my life. And now I'm in the process of rereading where we were with all that. It was a tough time. But God has used that story, and by the way, now he's 3 daughters, wonderful wife, great life. God's blessing him again and again and again. And we've seen that, but it took about 7 years before we saw him come back to the Lord. But we've used that story again and again and again to talk with others who are going through the same thing of a wayward child. Now, would I go back and say, yeah, I'll sign up for that? No. I still wish it hadn't happened, but since it did, I am so glad that I have a God who is a God of redemption, who takes those things and uses it for his glory. But what it takes for us is to say, Lord, here it is. Here's my brokenness. So here's the takeaway for today. Where are you broken? Where is the poison in your pot? Are you willing today, and for some of us, I'm willing to be made willing, but are you willing to begin to approach that and say, God, there was this hurt in my life, and I bring it to you and ask you to take it and help me to get to the place of trust, of risk, and allowing you to use this thing for your glory and the good of others. Let's stand and pray, and then the worship team is going to come. Father, this morning, we've probably opened up some old hurts. I would just ask you, Lord, to be the God of all comfort and to bring about healing for those of us this morning that are really, really struggling. And I pray, Father, that this will be a day of hope and that you will use this for your glory. In Jesus' name.